Good morning, Sister Williams and Saint. Good morning. Thank you. Loving Father, we thank you for the revival and the reformation that you are bringing through in our lives. We thank you for your amazing grace, sustaining and enabling us in your presence as subjects of the law of God, invited into the holy and the most holy. And so we pray that your purpose of grace, through the power of your grace, will bring about the transformation that will glorify your name and bring forth glory. And so into your hands we have covenanted your time. May your abiding presence continue to rest, remain, and abide with us as we continue to depend upon your righteousness for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. All right, good morning, saints. Once again, it's sure you're having a good time journeying, getting off of cooked food and having a good time, giving the stomach some rest. Right? Can we hear an amen in the congregation? All right. But this morning, we're going to get into the reading, and I know Sister Williams there is on. I'll ask you to read Exodus 39, verses 3. 4 and 5 and 7. That's our opening scripture this morning. Exodus 39, verses 3, 4, 5, and 7.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, give us clarity of thought as we read your inspired words. I pray. Exodus 39, verses 3, 4, and 7.
And then did he beat the gold into the place and cut it with into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work. Verse 5. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 7, and he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Amen. Thank you very much. This topic today is on the ephod.
And we notice here, there's a common thread in the sanctuary. And you see this in all the scriptures as a pattern of Christ. He repeats himself often, right? He repeats himself. Verily, verily, I say it unto you. We notice in Matthew chapter 6, thy and thou, seven times. Genesis 23, chapter 2, 10 times he referred to himself. So it's a pattern of Christ constantly. So in the sanctuary, these colors are repeated constantly. They're at the gate, right? And they are on the vesture of the high priest. And it's a constant theme in the mind that God wants us to have. Now the gold and the blue and the purple and the fine linen all refers to the royal colors of Christ, right? Christ himself. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, we see Christ there himself. Can we kindly read this to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13? He was dressed in his garment there himself.
In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
Amen. Thank you very much. You notice Christ himself dressing here, and he's reminding us, Christ, these colors, every color here is an experience. Again, I say like an accordion. I notice you can blend them, you can condense, and then you can extend. You can condense, and you can extend, right? So, but they harmonize together. They harmonize together. You notice here in the scriptures, this gold, this blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. When God went after Adam, that's the golden righteousness of Christ. Again, it was Jesus, because you would see Christ speaking and saying this to Jacob, what's your name? He was saying to Adam, Adam, where are you? I missed you at worship this morning. Where are you? Right? So it's a pattern of Christ. So he said, you know, I heard your voice and I was afraid. So here it is, Christ is calling his children. Usually we do not go after Christ. Christ goes after us. He goes after us. And parents, I really want you to understand this concept when you're praying for your children and your grandchildren. Look specifically that the Spirit of God will go after their heart. Right? And woo them. Look for tangible evidence in their life and pray with that which you can see according to the Word of God. All right? It gives hope. Once the Word of God is going forth, righteousness is accompanying His Word. And if you have been experiencing those words, grace is mingled inside the Word. So it's a double whammy there, right? So this is for you to understand that, or to encourage or remind, that it's the Spirit of God that goes after and woo. If you notice John the Baptist, when he was walking, when he was in the wilderness, the Spirit of God draw men unto him. Right? He draw men unto him. I want to pause right here for a parent or two to pray specifically for the youth with the understanding that the goal, the righteousness of Christ, the Spirit of God will woo our young people unto him, where they will come to hear his voice, submit and surrender unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Parents, you got to ask God to help you to understand, to get out the way of your children.
I'm going to pause right here for a prayer or two.
My precious Father in heaven, I am so grateful to you for showing us the way to go. And today, as I lift up not just my own children, I want to lift up all of our children to you, asking, dear Lord, that you will continue to woo them back to you, as you have promised us, that like you are taking the priesthood, the priestess is carrying, you're carrying our burdens, dear precious Lord, on please take it on her shoulder. You're carrying it on yourself, Father. Woo our children back to you, I pray. Help us to get out of their way, get out of your way, so you can do what you have planned to do and continue to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anyone else? No one else has children. Okay, loving Father, I too lift up my nieces and nephews and the youth, the conference that they have, and I pray that that goal manifested in the Spirit of God will be seen and heard and woo their hearts, where they will come to submit and surrender, so that the Word of God will become their sword. And these young people will be the men and women that will come to proclaim the loud cry, I pray, for Christ's sake.
Loving Lord, this weekend, over 1,000 young people registered. And I believe it was double that of those who registered who came for the convention. Our young people need to be wooed. Our young people need to be encouraged how to study your word. I give you thanks for the General Conference Youth Director as he spoke yesterday morning, but many of the young people were not there. I ask that there will be an awakening, that our young people, many are born in Christian homes, but they have no connection with you. Many go to church. They hold office. They do things in the church, but it is just doing stuff. Many are so talented, and talent is leading, but the heart has not been touched. I pray as well, that all of us will be examples, and I pray that the colors of your love, as we think of your heart, that your heart will become our heart. Be with our children that are sleeping now, because most of the night was spent in having fun. But may they, like you, spend time, learn to spend time with the Father, so that the Father's instructions they may heed. I pray.
Amen. Amen. Do you know this one of anyone else? Okay. You notice the fourth color was gold, which is the righteousness of Christ on every furniture in the holy and the most holy, it is gold. In the court, it is brass. There's a difference. When the Deuteronomy 23 said to us that you will have shoes of brass, a principle of brass in the sanctuary represents victory through suffering, right? Victory through suffering. In other words, the nature, this nature that we have inherited, which is called iniquity, it's bent and crooked, and so it takes a lot for us to cooperate with God. It takes a lot, and that's why these lessons are repeated over and over and over again, because God wants to penetrate the heart.
He wants to penetrate the heart. So the righteousness of Christ is its appreciation, thanking God and seeing and learning. With thanksgiving, I continue to ask you for your own self. With thanks, see, even in mistakes, see that which you can thank God about. It's so important because it keeps the heart moist and pliable. It keeps the angel and the aroma of Christ around you. In other words, for the working of the Spirit of God, the writing to take place in the heart. So it's very important that we understand the writing, because none of us can do nothing without Him. And even though we say that, sometimes we want to do things and leave Him aside. And that's why we are embarrassed, and that's why we struggle, because the righteousness of Christ is not properly experienced, or I should say continually experienced in our lives. Now, the blue, which means the commandments of God, right? The Word of God. You notice constantly the Word of God is our foundation. Constantly in the sanctuary, the Word of God is our foundation. Sometimes when I hear the praying for the Holy Spirit, it's like you're praying separated from the Word of God. But remember this, that the Spirit is in the Word. There's a quotation that is written, Ellen G. White says, as sure as the seed is in the acorn, so sure is the promises of God. In other words, the Spirit of God is in the Word. He harmonizes with the Word of God. So let's look at Numbers chapter 15, 37 to 40, looking at the color blue in the sanctuary, on the ephod, the color blue.
Numbers 15, what verse?
37 to 40.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the border a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring. That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You notice here, there's a lot in there, even though it's the Word of God. Every action must be led upon the Word of God. Right? Every action must be led. That's what the scripture says. Thy word is a lamp and a light. We recite it, but we need to implement it. Right? Thy word is a lamp. If you're going to your job every morning, you have your devotion. And whatever is given to you that morning, that's to carry you along the way. You need to pay attention to your devotional, the messages that God has been giving you. That's one of the ways that you will come to understand your experience. We need to understand because we need to speak law. Right? A lot of times in our testimonies, I keep saying, and all of us, I'm included, but I'm learning, you, on your experience, you need to understand the scripture that is taking place in the heart. I'm going to tell you, the world teaches visualization, and the devil helps them with that. They put up objects, and they look at it, and they recite it, and they tell you that they get that which they need. Right? You hear that over and over in the New Age. Seventh-day Adventist, that's not new. The devil has not created anything. That's why God gave us the sanctuary message, to look at Him in every aspect. 90% of what we learn comes through the eyes and the hands. 90% of what we learn comes through the eyes and the hands. 10% comes through the ear. In other words, the sanctuary should be a picture becoming brighter and brighter in the mind as God continues to set it up in the heart. Literally, you would be able to see when he's washing the canals in the brain, the GABA, Hosea 10 and verse 12. You begin to see that. You begin to understand he's fixing something inside of you. There's an intimacy that he's longing to have with his children who profess to be washing the robe in the blood of the Lamb. It is necessary for us to do that. Listen, he got everything in control, but he's looking and uniting a people with him. When you're united with him, you don't have to worry about friends. He will unite you with his children. Right? So the word of God is to bring about instructions, but the instructions then lead to experiences, which leads to glorify his name. Right? So it's important that the word becomes a source. If you're going anywhere, begin to hang up these scriptures in your head and meditate upon them, asking God to set them up. I've said to the other prayer line group, there's a sanctuary in a cross. And I printed that out a couple years ago, and I've given to them. I said, duplicate this thing. Study the Bible with it. You know, it's not a study, I say. It's a journey. This study will never end. It will continue in heaven. This thing is so deep that all our minds together cannot fathom how broad and deep. The whole history of the universe is in the sanctuary message. So it's a journey with Christ. It's an intimacy that he's building, and you're learning. And I'm noticing in my own life, I'm becoming less fretful and more thankful. Listen, and I have trials with family and everybody else, but something I'm noticing, I'm becoming less fretful and more thankful. And I'm becoming a little bit more willing. Because in every aspect in the sanctuary, you're not comparing your life with anybody else. Your journey is with Jesus. Because every dot and tittle there is about Christ. So even that, I am learning to talk less about myself and more about the Word of God. I say something, my cousin, I have a cousin, and she accepted Christ like a year or two ago. New babe in Christ. And you know, every time Colleen would come around and she would talk, I would say, open your Bible and see what God is saying to you about the situation or the troubles. And so New Year's Day, I said, you know, I was busy, and then around 2 o'clock, I said, oh, let me just give her a call and see how she's doing. And I said, hey, I'm just called to check on you. And she said, you know, it's a new year, Amanda, and I need to be honest. She said, I'm not calling Amanda today because she's going to want to do Bible studies. And I kind of grin because anytime we talk, I would say, do you understand what God is saying? Do you see the scriptures there? And, you know, but we need more of the scriptures because in the scriptures, there is life. In the scriptures, there's comfort, there's reproof, there's direction, there is light. And he wants to become within us the flesh, that heart of flesh that Christ manifested upon this earth. Now, blue, you have gold, blue, and purple. Let's look at John chapter 19, verses 2 and 3 for purple, the color purple. Let's look at purple. And someone kindly read. John chapter 19, verses 2 and 3.
And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands.
Wow. This is our Savior preparing to journey to the cross to bear our sins. And on the ephod, on the high priest, the high priest was a symbol that embodied Israel, and every aspect of the garment had to have an experience. But if you condense it together, he was standing in the gap on behalf of Israel. Just pause a little to meditate. You, as a Christian in your home, you might be the only one, right? Or in your home, and a lot of women have, you know, husbands that they're not, and husbands probably have wives that are not Christian. But do not become discouraged. You have to have an experience, not to become purple, to wear that garment purple. You have to have some type of struggle as you stand in the gap for others. The scripture tells us, art has no sorrow that heaven cannot bear. Right? Heaven cannot bear. Jesus went through, the path that we have to go through is just a shadow in compared to what Christ went through. So in your home, as you stand, as God covers you with a garment of purple, preparing you for eternity, many days you will have to cry by yourself. Many days as you stand for your family. It begins at home. The burdens and the stress begins at home. And then it becomes easier in the church. It's a ripple. Because I always say, dealing with Polly and Abraham and Glennie and Dennis, those are my siblings. And in other words, when I come to the church, there is 10 Pollys and 20 Dennises. And, you know, Patricia Longley is just like Polly. Just like Polly. The first time when Polly criticized her, I said, Polly, you know different. You just like her. And she just, I said, yes, you just like the woman. And so it is easier to meet them in the church and love them. It is easier. Because once you're dealing with your heart in the home, as God is showing you the things, and you're going to love them because they're your family. You said they frustrate you and they get you mad. But they, no one can do it to you as God is growing us up. He has given us choices. So through the trial, sometimes I say, man, Jesus, how did you do it? How can you love me? And then with that, I say, oh, just place some love in this heart so that I can love my siblings. You can love them through me. So it's a real thing. It's a real experience that you must have. But the result results in thanksgiving. Once the repentance is coming in, once the oil of grace is coming in, then what happens? If that person did not react the way they reacted, I could not have seen that in my heart. So in other words, when I bow before God and confess the sin in the oil and the comfort coming in, what comes out of my mouth? Thank you, Lord, for Polly. You know, or thanks for Abraham, thanks for Pat, or thanks for Dennis, or thanks for Gwenny, because without that reaction, Amanda could not have seen the defect in her heart. And that's where the purple comes in. It's a real experience. If you're just blaming people making you mad or blaming this or blaming that, you have some other God taking control of your heart. You have another man there. Right? So it has to happen because this nature must become weak as God cleans us up to make us partakers of his, divine nature. I want to pause here for prayer because sometimes the struggle is so hard in your home or with your family or with your husband. I keep comforting and I say to women, I said to my brother-in-law, Peter, you have a choice. When they come and they're fussing around me, you have that police, you have a choice. Do you want to be happy or do you want to be mad? You have a choice, a right, right? You want to be right or you want to be happy? And he would be like, oh, well, Amanda, I want to be right. I said, well, you're going to end up frustrated because you would not never win. Now, with the husband and wife, when one is up, you should be seeing as a Christian, you know what? My husband is acting up this way because something is not right in his life. Begin to appreciate the things that attracted you to him. You know, begin to see the things that he do were wrong. If he's a good father, he's a good provider, whatever it is. Begin to thank God about those things. And in Spanish, you would say, enseguida, right away, the Spirit of God moisturizes the heart. And we begin to see differently. Things God has made all provisions for us to live like Christ and overcome us life upon this earth. All we need to do is continually to follow in the footsteps of Christ, utilizing the model that he has given to us as the author, the instructor, and the interpreter. Let's pause here for a prayer or two for those who struggle with whoever in the church or in the home.
Heavenly Father, if you only want to give you thanks, Lord, for the ministry that you provided for us, Lord, to learn these present truth, Lord. I didn't hear all of this, Lord, but I was impressed upon my heart that I need to step back and allow you to step forward and remove that self, Lord, that constantly coming in the way. And I pray for my brothers and sisters online, as we all do struggle with this situation many times, especially in our home, where there's no facade to take that off. And we're dealing with real life circumstances, Lord, and sometimes it's very forceful. And as Christians, we have to demonstrate you so that we can draw others closer to you. Many times we have failed. So I say forgiveness on my behalf and on all behalf, Lord. And Father, help us to accept the help that you have been given us and to be patient and to wait and to meekly murmur not and to experience the blessing, dear God, as you continue to try our hearts. Fill us up, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Pastor, I thank you for the privilege of learning how that the blue of obedience and the red of sacrifice would make the purple of your robe that you wore for us, and that we too may each day find a joy in being heavenly royalty. Thank you for giving us opportunity to cleanse our hearts and minds and souls before you. And yes, at church we have, as it were, in the ark, all kinds of animals. And so we kind of represent them. But like one of our pastors said, some of us are like the rhinoceros who would give another a bump, which would leave a red and blue swollen area. But we must learn also to understand the joy of forgiving, but not just to
put it under the rug. Deal as you give us with such as we experience, looking at ourselves, looking at other, and coming to you, restoring one another and helping ourselves to grow from that hurtful experience. Thank you for cleansing us and for saving our souls at last. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake, amen.
Father in Hexham, Father in Evan, I just want to thank you for your example, because even you endure all kinds of agony. But the royalty, that crown was placed on your head and that royal robe on your shoulder. Despite the pressure and no matter what persecution may come our way, may we continue to remain unmovable. Continue to just keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to look at two colors. Think about this. If I ask this question to you, how many people have hurt you? A lot of people will put up their hand. But flip it over. How many people have you hurt? Think about it. How many people have disappointed you? Put up your hands. A lot of people. How many people have you disappointed? You get it? So the only righteous individual is Christ. And as he's growing us up, mistakes are going to be made. It's not, don't be afraid when you make the mistakes. It's the mercies of God allowing us to see our true condition. If our true condition is not seen, then true confession cannot be made. This way of confessing, you know, this watery way of confessing, why you think we're not living overcomers' life? Oh, Lord, forgive me for this, and oh, Lord, forgive all my sins, and all this magical way. You got to see the law in confession and the law in repentance. You have to understand those things, because that without repentance, we are nowhere obtaining the nature of Christ. That study yesterday with Christ entering to the most holy, we have professed to enter in with him by faith. Now, those studies will begin. If you're studying it, those studies will study you. Once the study begins to study you and I, our true condition is seen in its clarity. So when you are exposed, when your defects are exposed, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's the manifestation of God's mercy towards his children. And in other words, he's saying, Amanda, you have to not only true confession and repentance, but you have to do something about it. Right? See, I'm giving you an opportunity. Do something about it. So it's exactly how he works with everyone. Let's look at the scripture, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13 and Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. We're going to see the scarlet and the fine linen. I'm looking at the time. We have just a few. And we'll pick this up back this evening. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8.
Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13.
13, 1-3.
Thank you, Lord. Raise our eyes on the scripture once more. Pray that the word will wash our heart as we continue to study. And it will be hidden in the heart, so we will not sin against you. Amen. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13 reads, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
And 8?
Revelation 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Amen.
Thank you. Thanks. Now, you know, when you read this here about the scarlet and the fine linen, seems simple, right? But this scarlet here of Christ and his vesture was dipped in the blood, right? Dipped in blood. Think about that. Think, meditate upon that, right? And his name was called the Word. In other words, our prayer life, the intensity of our prayer life must be saturated with the Word of God. Our prayer life, prayer, blood, typifies a principle of prayer. That's where the scripture says, eat my word and drink my blood, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Right? A principle, blood is also, a principle of blood is also life. Right? Life is in the blood. Right? So, in other words, prayer mingled and saturated in the Word of God will bring life. The pen of inspiration says that prayer is better than all medicine. Just think about that. Prayer is better than all medicine. How much of God's children is on medication today? It's because the word and prayer is not saturating the heart. We're so reluctant to pray. And not only to pray, when you pray and you say a little sentence there and you don't understand what you're saying, it's not going anywhere. I did not make the rules. I read them and I preach them and teach them and strive to live them. The pen of inspiration gives a very clear, in studying of the Laodicean message, not all prayer is heard. So don't be fooled or conned. In Testimony Volume 6, page 408, on the second paragraph, you would find that. I should read it, because all this, you know, sometimes you get so poetic and the Word of God is left out. You know, the Word of God is not inside. You become so fancy. Saying the simplicity of Jesus, the more we know about Jesus, the more we experience Jesus, it's the simpler life will become. Nothing fancy about this man. When he entered into the holy and the most holy, he stripped himself of all those fancy garments that he had on, and he went in with just the linen. You think that you could come before God the way we do and the way we pray? It's just because the mercies of God, we are not consumed. Listen to this from the pen of inspiration. It says, those who are different at this time, Christ warning is, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. The figure of spewing out of his mouth means that he cannot offer up your prayer or your expression of love to God. He cannot endure the teaching of his word or your spiritual work in any wise. He cannot present your religious exercise with the request that grace be given you. Now, this is heavy. So when you read scarlet and you just pray a little magic prayer and you say, oh, Lord, cover me in your scarlet gown, and you would understand the intensity of Bible study and prayer, you're praying magic. So every aspect, every dot and tittle, take a scripture every day, not only memorize and read it, but study this thing. See the pattern of Christ going through the sanctuary. And once you begin to meditate upon the Word of God, it's a lost art. It's really a lost art. In meditation, the Spirit of God comes in the mind. You hang a scripture up there, and he begins to brush and say, no, Amanda, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here.
you begin to see the pattern. Remember this as we close off. The same spirit that imbued Christ with the power and to speak the word is the same spirit that puts it in the mind. It's the same spirit that puts it in the heart. And he used the same pattern, the same model. In other words, you and I will be able to see that which he is doing in the mind and the heart. Literally understand. So like 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, when others cannot hear that which he is doing, you that he has been experiencing it, the hammer and the nail and going in as he's picking himself up inside, you would understand when you see the struggles in others' lives, and you will begin to pray and do that which the Spirit of God has commissioned you to do. But I want to encourage you, no matter where you are today, it's a new day of mercy being renewed, and we need to appreciate these blessings of God with the privilege of living higher and holier life upon this earth. Loving Father, I thank you for your children and their willingness to partake and to be a part of this journey with you. We thank you for the angels that boxes us in. We thank you for the word that exposes us and our true condition. We pray this morning as the goal of God accompany our effort, that the word will continue to anchor us, and that the purple, the scarlet, as we mix together, that the righteousness of Christ, as he empowers us, that we will become clean vessels, fitted up in the seal, in this dispensation of the latter rain. Help us to accept the help that you have already provided for us, and as we utilize your model, may you continue to draw us closer to you and closer to each other. Help us to understand that the word of God and the spirit of God agrees on the importance of the depth of prayer in our lives. Lord, I do believe that you are placing within us a deeper desire. We ask that this desire will manifest in the good work that will honor and glorify your name. Breathe your breath upon your people, and may the quickening power, the regenerating power, continue to agitate and penetrate us to keep us looking, contemplating, meditating, studying, and doing that which will bring honor and glory to your name. Into your hands I commit your people. The scripture says, bring them to me. I am bringing the global prayer line to you, all its members and names that has ever been uttered, and that arm that encircles humanity and grasps divinity, encircle this family, bring healing, bring deliverance, bring strength, and that which is needed in their lives, individually and collectively. I pray these blessings with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your compassion and your patience on us, Lord. And Lord, even though we don't know, we don't understand, and we don't know how to pray, and we don't even know what to pray for, and as you say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, that because we don't know, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us now, and help us, Lord, to have a better understanding as we sit at the feet, Lord, and we accept the help. We stop just becoming lame, just sitting and studying and sitting and getting fat. So we will move to action, Lord, as you work in and through our hearts. So we'll our prayer life will be more enriched, Lord. And we pray according. according to your word. We understand the science of prayer and how powerful the inspiration says it's even better than any medicine. It's powerful. Lord, it moves the hands of God. So, Lord, help us. As we continue to learn, we will demonstrate as the Spirit works in and through us, Lord, and lead us into all truth. Thank you for your own servant who you have used in such an able manner this morning to teach us. Help us, Lord, to study for ourselves that we continue to walk the walk and talk the talk. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Father in heaven, we truly want to thank you for how the Holy Spirit has used Sister Amanda this morning. And it's only when we study to show ourselves approved. And as we grow in your understanding, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to apply these principles to our life, we can walk in your light, and we can be a reflector of your light to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Any questions? That you would like to ask anything that
I was about to bring up.
Go ahead, my dear. Go ahead.
Yes. Heavenly Father, you promised in John 16:7 that you're sending the Comforter when you go, and thank you for sending your Comforter, your Holy Spirit, to teach us all things. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Anyone else? Jumping up, please.
Loving and eternal Father, thank you so much for your daughter, Sister Amanda, this morning, for such a timely message that we could learn how to pray and pray better. We thank you for using her in a marked and mighty way. Thank you so much for what you've done in her. We continue to bless her ministry as she continues to work and champion for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen, loving Father. I thank you so much for using your daughter, Sister Amanda, again this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide and direct her to bring honor and glory to your name and to be a blessing with all those she come into contact with. And Father, we thank you for your words this morning. And I pray, dear God, we will continue to be drawn closer to you. Bless us, God, and help us to remember to give you praise and to give you honor and glory for all your blessings. Keep us connected to you, Lord, is our cry. In the mighty name of Jesus, with thanksgiving I pray. Amen.
Amen. Loving Father, I also want to join your daughters and your son, dear God, as they have left a petition, dear Lord. I pray, Father, that you, I thank you for your daughter, first of all, for blessing her, dear Lord, for using us so mightily. And dear Lord, as I read your word, that I will use it and apply it to my prayer, dear God. That I will believe your word, that I will walk, dear God, according to your word. I pray, dear Lord, as I study your word, dear Lord, that it would enlighten my path and that I would make a difference in the life of others. I thank you, dear Lord, once more for your great blessing. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that still somehow continue to woo me. I pray, oh God, that you will be with me for the rest of this day and the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Dear Father, thank you for morning manna. For men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit when we feel our need of him and open our hearts to him, we may be drawn closer to you. Thank you, for you would teach us to pray as we allow your Holy Spirit to influence our hearts and minds and souls in prayer and not just utter things blankly and disrespectfully dishonoring you. Thank you for having mercy on us and for continuing to guide us this day in Jesus' name and for his faith. Thank you for being with Sister William, Sister Amanda, and all others who would be on the line today. And as Pastor Pat
monitors in the background and comes in with her little blessings. Make them much in your name. I ask you and thank you in Jesus' name and for his faith. Amen.
Oh, precious Lord, I'm so grateful for this hour that I have spent because I've learned so much. I've learned, Lord, and I understand that when I pray, it must not be my what is a heart and mind experience that I will not be like a white sepulchre. And when I pray with groaning, I must look at myself, who I am, what I am doing, what am I causing to prevent my prayers from being answered in the way that I'm expecting them to answer. Help me to submit my entire self to you and to your word. Working of the Holy Spirit will be realized. Thank you for the way you use Sister Amanda today to present to us. I pray, may I today take it seriously and apply it to my life so that my life will become better, not only for myself, but those who see you in me. Bright light, never burn out, I pray.
Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning once again that we, as I came on this line this morning, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to hear that message that you use your daughter Amanda to present to us, how to teach us how to pray by using your words, O dear Father. I pray, Lord, that a difference will come over me from this moment onward, that I will pray more using your words, O dear Father. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless Sister Amanda and her ministry, O dear Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, O dear Lord. We give you praise this morning and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Our great high priest, this morning, I just want to give you thanks for carrying my burden and for giving me the strength I need as I face each trial. Lord, without you, I cannot do anything. And I beg, Lord, that you'll help me to sit at your feet and to study your words, and that I will be a true witness for you, even in difficult times, knowing that you are there to lead and to guide us. You have promised before you left here, Lord, that you will send us the Comforter that will lead us and to guide us into all truth. And so, Lord, we beg that you will help me and help your children, that we will surrender our will to you so that you can reveal to us the things we need to know, even in these last days of Earth history. Thank you, Lord, for your servant, Sister Amanda, that she has given herself to you so that you could use her this morning and help her, Lord, that as she continue to give us the understanding, you give us the understanding, and that she will continue to be our teacher. That, Lord, we will not look on her, but we will look on you. And we beg, Lord, that as she go through this day, that you'll continue to be with her in her going out and in her coming in. Keep her from all harm and danger, Lord, because we know that when we have been fed, the enemy do not like these things. But, Lord, so encircle her with your angels, and may we continue to do your will, and that in the end of it all, we will give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have spent here this morning. And help us that we will not get weary, but that we'll continue to look to you, who is still the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Pat, for coming in every now and then, still in the background, still lifting up each and every one of us in prayer. May you grant her traveling mercies. And may she return home in safety. I ask in your mighty and precious name. Amen.
Okay, so we'll meet again at 7. Can someone pray for my mom? Today's her birthday, and I'm not there. Today's Sister Pat's birthday, too. So can we have a birthday prayer?
Beloved Father, even now, I want to thank you for your daughter, Sister Amanda's mother. I pray, oh God, that you will bless her. It's such an awesome thing to remember to have a mother. I don't have one, so. But I thank you, Lord, for your daughter that has a mother, that she will continue to grow in grace, dear Lord, and she continue to be her blessing in this world, and that you will continue to bless your daughter, even Sister Pat also, Lord. And for all of those that are celebrating a birthday, dear Lord, that you have given their privilege to see another year, dear Lord. May the blessing continue to be upon their life. Thank you again for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Father
in heaven, we just
thank you for bringing Sister Amanda's mother to another milestone. And Pastor Pat, and dear Father, we are reminded by the pen of inspiration that each moment of life is a gift from you. Mm-hmm. You have brought us through the sunshine, through the rain, through the ups and through the downs, and you are the one who still would keep us. And I thank you and I bless you so that your Holy Spirit benefiting us would be to the blessings of others, even in the life of Sister Amanda's mom, Pastor Pat, and others. Blessed are you, dear Lord, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Loving Lord in heaven, we just want to thank you for your dear daughter, Sister Amanda, mom, who is celebrating a birthday today, and your sister, Pat. But Lord, may they just recognize that this day is from you, Lord.
Yes.
And as they continue to celebrate this milestone, may it be a milestone that they can always remember and look back on where you have brought them from, to where they are at, and where you will continue to lead them. Continue to bless Sister Amanda as she continues to be that beacon of light in her family. May she just continue to share you and make a difference. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Loving Lord, we want to thank you for Sister Amanda this morning. And we want to lift up her mom. You know what is going on in her life. And so, Lord, we beg that you will continue to be that great physician to her. And, Lord, keep her in her right mind so that no matter what, she'll be able to have that connection with you. And she can talk with you and you can talk with her. Be with her, Lord. Continue to provide the hands that she needs in times of need. Be with her children, Lord, that they will continue to lift her up and that, dear Lord, she will always be grateful for what you are doing for her. Be with Sister Pat, Lord. She's celebrating too. And I am in that month also. So, Lord, we beg that you will keep her, that you will guide her, be with each and every one of them. And, Lord, as you have listened to our prayers this morning, let your name be glorified. We beg that you will be with Sister Amanda with whatever business transaction she is looking after with her mom. Come through for her, Lord. And at the end of it all, we give you praise, honor, and glory. I ask in your mighty and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Saint. I will have to run. God bless. Thanks a lot.
Birthday comes but once a year. Now we send this message clear. Happy birthday to the both of you, dear. Happy birthday until next year and many more. Happy birthday, Sister Pat, and happy birthday, Amanda's mother.
Happy birthday, Sister Amanda's mom. Dear Father, I ask you to continue to guide and protect your daughter, and as you give her, keep her in her right mind, Lord, as she will continue to be so connected with you, and the same for her children as they rally around her, love her, care for her, and provide for her. You give them the opportunity, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sister Sharon, are you still on the line?
I am. Can you all hear me?
Just before Sister Sharon and Sister William speak, just want to say again good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for being here and for your participation. Just a little bit of a future note that here on the Global Prayer Line, we do not, we do not believe in the ordination of female pastors because we do not have a biblical foundation for it. So we're going to ask you, we do not have Sister Pat as being a pastor. She's Sister Pat. So may God bless you as you, we just go according to biblical principles. Sister Sharon.
Amen.
Sister Amen.
Sister Williams and my dear brothers and sisters on the line, thank you all so much for your prayers. This morning as I woke up, there was no power in my home, in my area. And apparently it's been out for several hours overnight, but we prayed, and you prayed, and God is born again. Is the myth to believe it was one and lost, and thought that you were born again. The early Christians scattered all the world, they preached the gospel fearlessly, though some were martyred and they marched along in victory.
Goodbye. Yes.